Okay, let's get started. Good morning again, everyone. And I am Shannon Wilkinson, and this is Explore and Play at the Studios. So today, we are talking about habits and how to use habits to get what you want. Now, I don't know about you, but I, for a long time, was of the mindset that habits fit into two basic categories. Bad habits, which, you know, all the things you wished you didn't do but find yourself doing anyway, or relatively unimportant things like, you know, how you put your shoes and socks on. Do you go sock, shoe, or sock, sock, shoe, shoe? You know, just little things like that. And, you know, there's just tons of things that we have like that in our daily life, these little habits and little routines we do without even thinking about it. But I always had this pretty strong belief that habits were constrictive and stifling and that they would prevent me really from spontaneity and being able to do what I wanted to do and, you know, have some freedom and ease in my life. And I just never believed that that was possible with habits. And then it's become more and more apparent to me that creating certain habits and routines would really support what I wanted and would allow me greater freedom and ease in my life. That, you know, getting certain things taken care of automatically or setting myself up to do the things that I really wanted to do would actually get me the things that I wanted, to have the life that I wanted. And so I used some of my NLP stuff to get into my unconscious mind and change those beliefs around so that I could get to the work of creating the habits that I wanted that would, in fact, help me have the life that really supported me. So that's a little background on where I came from getting into this. So now I want to talk a little bit about what habits really are. I think the main thing to recognize is that they're automatic and unconscious. And I think, you know, we all sort of get that, but really think about that for a moment. Like, you don't even think about it. You just do all of these things all day long. You know, how you brush your teeth, how you hold your fork, how you even, like, boot up your computer. There's just all these little things that you do automatically without even thinking. And they're a series of actions, or it might be a single action or a series of actions that start with a particular cue or trigger. And that's just anything that reminds you to start this habit, to start the behavior. And then after doing the action, or sometimes while you're doing them, you get some kind of reward from it. And that's true even in the case of bad habits. We're not going to get into that really today because I want to talk about habits in this other context of how to get what you want. But there's some kind of reward in doing the habit. So truly, the beauty of them is you don't have to think about them. Just imagine for a moment what it would be like if you had to think about and debate every step of putting on your shoes and socks. Like which foot do you start with? Do you ball the sock up and pull it up, or do you just stick your foot in and pull it up? I mean, you can imagine there's kind of a oddly large number of decisions that could potentially go into putting on your shoes and socks. And I even am noticing a habit that's really funny about how I say that as we're talking about it. And then I always say shoes and socks, even though you put on your socks before your shoes. So, you know, why wouldn't you say socks and shoes? But that just sounds weird because I have a habit of saying shoes and socks. But anyway, you can just start to see how ingrained these things are. And now I want you to consider how you go about doing something that you want to be doing, but you aren't doing it or you aren't finding it very easy to do. So in most cases, the first problem is you don't remember to do it. You know, you want to be doing something, but you don't remember. It's not ingrained. It's not automatic. And then when you do remember to do it, you start thinking about all the possible ways you could do it. You consider the options, the possible outcomes. You start thinking about the whole thing. And then you're pretty likely to feel overwhelmed in some way. You know, feel bad. It might start to seem hard or like too much. And then you don't do it. And then you feel bad about that. So just contrast those two for a moment. You know, the habit is automatic and unconscious. You get some kind of cue, and then you just do it. And then you get a reward for doing it, as opposed to this other way where we try to make ourselves do things that, you know, sort of takes us down this whole path of difficulty that, you know, of course it's hard to do. It's surprising that the strategy that most of us use to bring something new into our life ever actually works in most cases. So before I go any further, let me just pause for a moment and see if anyone has any questions. Just check in with you. So if there aren't any questions, I'll continue on. So what we want to do are create these automatic and unconscious habits where around things that you definitely want to be doing. So there's no thinking, there's no debating, there's no considering options, because you do all that up front. So then every day or however often you want to be doing the habit, you don't have to rethink it like, oh, yeah, I really want to be exercising, or, oh, yeah, I really want to be writing. You just get this habit started so that you can then do the action that you know you really want to do. Now, in order to do that, there are a few things to pay attention to. So first of all, be really mindful of what you want. That is really key. And you might be surprised at how this can be a little bit tricky sometimes. As an example, during the first part of the year, I created some challenges, some things that I wanted to do leading up to my birthday, and they included a certain number of exercise sessions, of movement sessions, and a certain number of stillness or meditation sessions, and several other things. But those were kind of the two big ones. And while I did both of those things, particularly exercise, pretty regularly, I didn't have a real strong daily habit of them. And one of the reasons why I wanted to take them on as challenges was to develop that really regular daily habit. So I thought, you know, if I do these things 45 times over the next, or 6 or 8 weeks, however, I can't remember now how long I had to complete the challenge, I thought, you know, that's going to be a really good habit. But after the fact, when the routines that I had created, the habits I had created that allowed me to meet those challenges during that particular time period went away, I no longer had the motivation to do them. And I realized I had created the habit around meeting the challenges, not around creating the exercise habit or the meditation habit or whatever. So it's a really interesting thing to realize that what a big difference that made. So I've gone back to that and looked at it again and seen what do I really want here? What do I really want to be doing? And then the next thing is to start really small, very, very small. Because really, this is just starting the process. This isn't these little habits that we're talking about right now. Just start the process. They point you in the direction so you create some momentum to do what you want to do. Use a cue that's already in existence, that's already really solid, and something that you can do the behavior after. Linking a cue that comes before, I mean, that you would do your behavior, your desired behavior before, is good as sort of a bookend thing, but doing something after, because it, again, it's about creating that chain, that momentum. And one of the most important things, and this feels weird when I've done this with clients or when I do it with myself, but it's hugely important, is to celebrate whenever you remember this new habit. And it can be as simple as, you know, just a yes or, you know, yay me or that's awesome or, you know, whatever, however you might normally celebrate that you, you know, got something right, that you did something you wanted to do, that you're really proud of yourself. And that celebration doesn't happen just when you do the habit when you want to be doing it, but any time you think about it, any time you remember it, any time, because you really, really want to reward yourself and reinforce that you're thinking about this. And, you know, it's like anything. The better you feel when you do it, the easier it is to continue doing it. And then finally, you want to practice the new habit in your mind a lot. When you first decide what it is, and then in the future too, because our brains don't really differentiate between what you do in quote-unquote real life and what you do in your mind. And, you know, that's been proven in research, you know, I think starting 30 or, you know, maybe even close to 40 years ago, I think in the 70s is when they first started looking at skiers who mentally rehearsed their runs. You know, these are competitive skiers, and they would mentally rehearse their runs, and they did a study, and there was no difference between actually doing the runs and mentally rehearsing them, you know, doing the run in your head. And still today, you see this a lot with skiers. If you're watching the Winter Olympics or any competitive skiing event, they show them standing at the gate, and you can see them in their mind, and you can see their bodies moving as they go through the course in their mind. And the same thing happens. It's not for athletics and physical activity. The same thing happens with anything that you want to do. So mentally practicing, rehearsing it, especially when you really bring it alive with all the sights and sounds and smells and language and everything that you do experience in the actual situation, will help build that new neural network that creates the new habit and makes it automatic and unconscious, so you don't have to think about it again. So let me, again, pause for a moment. Does anyone have any questions?
Hey, Shannon, it's Janine.
Hey, Janine.
I don't, you might be planning to get to this, so I can certainly wait. But the one thing that was going through my mind as I was listening to you was falling off the wagon. Always have to review some of the habits and routines I've created that were really beneficial, but due to circumstances or something, I stopped doing them, and then having difficulty finding the motivation to get back on, get started again. So that was one thing I'm hoping that you'll have an opportunity to address.
Sure. Thing, I was just doing some reading about that this morning, and I was reading about it in Charles Duhigg's book, The Power of Habit, and he was talking about, in their research, they found that the difference in habits, you know, newly created habits that stuck even during times of stress and, or, you know, changes in your routine or whatever, was belief in what you're doing and why you're doing it. And there's that sort of more, I don't know what you would call it, more philosophical idea behind it, like really understand, get in touch with why it's important to you to do what you're doing. You know, exercise is a big one where it's easy to not do it for a day, and then a day turns into 2 days, and then 2 days turns into 3 days, and then all of a sudden you're not going anymore. And reminding yourself of why you wanted to do it in the first place is a great way to get back on the wagon. The other things to consider are if you've just forgotten to do it, the next time you remember, still celebrate it, and then if you can't do whatever the habit is in that moment, then make a point of scheduling it, writing it down, help, you know, re-anchoring in the whole pattern, the cue, the going through the whole process that we're talking about again to remind yourself, or, you know, to re-stimulate that neural pathway. And the other thing to consider is that usually what happens when you fall off the wagon is you beat yourself up about it and you feel bad, and then that creates a chain reaction of not even wanting to start again because you're afraid you're going to fail and then you'll feel bad, and that's what you were trying to avoid in the first place. So cutting yourself slack, allowing yourself to have a practice of doing this habit, if that makes sense, to recognize that, you know, even though I brush my teeth every morning and every night and usually after I eat meals during the day, sometimes I forget. I don't think like, oh, my gosh, I'm a horrible person. I forgot to brush my teeth. I think, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I forgot to brush my teeth. When's the next time I could do it? And so keeping that sort of mindset in play when you're doing these, when you're working on building new habits really helps a lot. So does that
help you? Yeah, absolutely. They're all really helpful, and each one of them. And I appreciate it.
Good. So are there any other questions? Well, I would love to jump into some coaching. Let me just go over really quickly again. Oh, you know what I want to do? I want to give some examples before we get into coaching, the kinds of things that this works really well with, and some specific examples of people I've coached recently to do to create some new little habits like this. And then we will go ahead and open up the lines for coaching. And if you want to volunteer, then you can just press *6 and let me know. So I recently had a client who wanted to walk every morning for 2 to 4 miles. That was her goal. And she had done this in the past, and sort of like Janine said, she had done it for a while, and then she stopped doing it, and then it kind of snowballed, and then she couldn't really get herself to do it anymore. And she did that thing where she'd think about it, and then she'd think like, oh, you know, what if the weather's not good? That's too far. I don't have time. And it would kind of get overwhelming, and then it was too much, and then she never did it. So what we did was add in this tiny little habit that starts her in the direction of what she wants. You know, she, like I said, she wanted to get up every morning and walk for 2 to 4 miles. But if you set that kind of goal without building up to it, in all likelihood, you're not going to meet it. You're going to feel like you're failing, and then you're going to have that, get into that negative cycle. So we chose one tiny thing she could do to point her in the right direction, and that was simply the habit of putting on her walking clothes and shoes and stepping onto the porch. And now she had to set up a little bit in advance to make that easy to do. So every night before bed, so after brushing her teeth and before getting into bed, she would get her clothes ready. And then every morning, she'd get out of bed, put her clothes on, step out on the porch. I think there might have been a trip to the bathroom in there, but step out onto the porch and then celebrate. And I haven't talked to her in the last week, but the first 2 weeks of it, she did it every single morning but one. And in most cases, she ended up continuing once she got off the porch. Sometimes it was just a walk around the block with the dog. Sometimes it was the longer walk for a half hour or an hour. But the point is, she hadn't been able to do it in over a year, and just creating this one tiny habit that got her pointed in the right direction created the momentum to be able to do what she really wanted to do. I worked with another client who wanted to manage her money better, and she would think about it and would feel bad that she wasn't doing it and didn't really want to face it, and, you know, things, if you're not paying attention to what's going on with your money, then things tend to get worse. You know, you might miss a payment, or you might not get a deposit in your checking account in time to cover check. You know, a whole host of things can go wrong, and then it makes it even harder to look at it. So for her, we decided that the one tiny thing she could do was that, since she already had I don't know if you're all familiar with the app Mint, but she had already set up everything in Mint, is that she just simply had to open it up. And the key for her was after lunchtime. So she would eat, and after she'd get up, because she'd always have her phone with her, after she'd get up, she would just open Mint. And that's all she had to do. And knowing that she didn't have to do any more made it possible for her to simply open that up. And then the mere fact of opening it up allowed her to look at it, look at what was actually going on with her account in a safe way. And it let her approach this in a way that was doable, and she could start paying attention to her finances. So those are a couple of ideas of how I've used this approach with different clients, and now I would love to coach someone, help someone create, discover what new little habit we could create to get something that you want that you haven't been able to do.
Well, Shannon, I'm happy. This is Janine. I'm happy to
be coached. Oh, good.
Sure.
Oh, well, maybe they'll see how painless it is with you, and then they'll volunteer.
Maybe so.
So what is it that you would like to be doing that you aren't currently doing?
There's plenty, but I think I'd like to focus on house cleaning or some component of house cleaning. I hate cleaning house, and so mm-hmm. I put it off, and then, of course, I hate it more. Because it's harder.
Right. It's a darn cycle again.
Yeah, it's not good.
And so why do you want to have a clean house? Why is that important to you?
That's a good question, because it's not that important to me, which is why I let it go so far. I think part of it has to do with expectation. That seems like this should be such an easy question. my standards for clutter are pretty high, even though I'm a professional organizer, and so and I'm okay with that. But I do feel as though, because I help people create and maintain order in their homes, maybe I should be maintaining a certain standard that I don't always maintain because I hate cleaning house. I don't mind keeping order. I just don't like cleaning.
Right. Well, that doesn't sound very compelling.
No, it didn't. I mean, that's part of the problem.
Yeah, I can understand why it's not very, very inspiring.
Yeah.
So is there occasion that certain people come to your house, or is it just for you, knowing that you're maintaining certain standards?
I don't mind cleaning the house so much if I'm doing it because people are, if we're entertaining or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I just thought of something, too. A couple of years ago, for his birthday, the gift I gave my husband was that I would vacuum and dust every week because he didn't want anything for his birthday. He was like, yeah, I don't need anything. So I gave him that, and he was like, oh, my God, that's too big. I can't accept this. but he accepted it, and it was good for what? It was 1 year. It was a 1 year offer.
Uh-huh.
And I did it because I committed to doing it, and it wasn't so bad because I was doing it for that reason.
Right. So doing it for him was a compelling reason.
Doing it because I said I'd do it was actually what I meant by that.
No, that's the compelling reason.
Yeah.
So simply just saying that you're going to do it publicly.
But it was a gift. I mean, I think there was a little bit more stickiness to it than that. Yeah.
And did you get anything out of having, I mean, you know, barring the actual work of doing the house cleaning, did you get anything out of having the house vacuumed and dusted once a week for a year?
Yeah, absolutely. I prefer to look at a clean house, to live in a clean house.
Yeah. Oh, so you enjoy that.
Yeah. But
that seems kind of compelling. Like, just put the work aside for a minute.
Right. The balance. When I look at the balance, it's But okay, putting the work aside. Yes, I enjoy having a clean house.
Okay, and so that, like, the idea of living in a clean house or a house that's, and if you're vacuuming and dusting once a week, then you're
clean enough.
Generally clean.
Yeah, and my husband is in charge of the kitchen, so I just have to. I don't have to do anything in the kitchen. Beyond emptying the dishwasher. Well, it's awesome if your standards are too high.
Yeah. I just mean the whole idea of not having to go in the kitchen. I mean, not to, like, clean the kitchen.
Right.
But you enjoy a clean house.
I do.
And so, you know, if you could have a clean house without, you know, having to make yourself clean it all the time, would that be worth having?
Yes.
Okay. So that, I think, is going to be part of the key for you.
Okay, great.
And there's two ways we could go about this. We could look at how you did it successfully in the past, or we could just sort of start from where you're at now and go from where you're at. And I think that that might be more useful, but we can go back to your past experience if we need a clue or two.
Okay.
So what would be, like, the smallest step you could take that would point you in the direction of, and when you say clean your house, is vacuuming and dusting once a week sort of what you would like?
Yeah, I think so. We have sort of a big house that's sort of split in half.
Yeah.
So
right.
I see alternating upstairs and downstairs and still being okay with that. So I'd still be vacuuming and dusting once a week, but only one floor, which is what I did with that commitment. It was just the living space, not the working space that I had committed to before.
Right. So,
vacuuming and dusting once a week works.
Okay. And so what is the smallest thing you could do that would point you in the direction of vacuuming and dusting once a week? What would be the very, very first step?
I guess it would be setting aside the time to do it.
We'll get to that in a minute, but what would be the actual thing that you would do?
You mean you don't think that setting aside time is an actual physical thing?
Well, we will get to that, but so once you know when you're going to do it, what would be the first thing you would do?
Probably, if it's not done already, it would be putting stuff away so that I have surfaces to dust.
So that you have surfaces to dust, is that what you said?
That's what I said, yeah.
Okay. And where do you, is there a place where things start to accumulate or where you would normally start dusting?
Probably the living room.
The living room?
Mm-hmm.
And is there one particular place that you would start in the living room? Like an end table or?
Yeah, probably the end table on the right side of the couch.
Okay. So
now that I think about it, Shannon, actually, when I think about the order in which I do things, it's actually, there's sort of a circle that happens. So it's really the desk in the desk that the cat eats on.
Oh, okay. So you start on the desk.
Mm-hmm.
And you put away anything that needs to get put away.
Right.
And what, I'm just kind of curious, what would happen if you put stuff away every day?
That was,
I mean, like, took a moment, it doesn't have to be long, but, you know, 30 seconds once a day to put things away, so then when it came time to dust and vacuum,
there'd be one less to task to do. Now that would be a good thing.
Yeah. So when would you like to do to start this, which would be, you know, just start by putting one thing away?
I'm sorry, do you mean time of day or
Time of day. Yeah, time of day or...
You don't mean like when, as in now, today versus next week, you mean?
No, I mean like a time of day in general.
Yeah, so if I were going to do like a tidy once a day to
mm-hmm.
stay on top of things. I want to say before bed, but I don't see that happening because I'm usually praying before bed. So maybe it's like right after, I was going to say right after I eat breakfast, but then I'm usually running late to go somewhere. So what is a realistic thing? I could make it, just for the upstairs anyway, I could make it part of my morning routine, which involves emptying the dishwasher and stuff. I mean, it could be
mm-hmm.
in there. I could see doing
mm-hmm.
it, like, right after I exercise.
I kind of had an idea popped into my head, and try this one on.
Okay.
What about if it's after you walk through the door, like when you come home?
Oh, interesting. That could work. I mean, frequently I'm tired, but I'm usually, not frequently tired. Sometimes I'm tired. And I usually, though, I've come home from helping somebody else create some order.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be some momentum there.
Uh-huh.
And the good feelings that go along with that. Now, of course, I'm not necessarily working with clients every day, so sometimes I'm walking
right.
the door for other reasons, but it's an interesting thought. Because usually what I do is come in, put my stuff down, and then go to my desk to work. So between those two things, I could do that. And if it's one day's worth of stuff, then, of course, it won't take any time at all.
Right. Well, it sounds like it might be useful for you to separate the two floors, too.
Yes. So, right. So I was thinking about the second floor where we live. That would work. And then the first floor where I work, that probably could be... That would be something different. It might be after I've shut down the computer for the night or something, but that's not going to work. It's dark and it's late, and it's not going to work. So maybe it's when I first come downstairs in the morning. Hmm. Those are definitely two separate considerations.
Yeah. I had another sort of odd idea.
Mm-hmm.
If you're working downstairs, what about after you get up? Because I think that if you're in motion already is useful.
Mm-hmm.
So after you get up to go to the bathroom or after you get up to get a drink of water or something like that.
You mean at any particular time that
the
cue is I've gotten up to take a break to go to the bathroom or whatever.
And you put one thing away on your way to do it or on your way back to your desk.
Oh. That's a good one. I mean, yeah, and of course then if I can actually do what would be nice to do, which is to put things away after I use them, then one thing, there may only be one or two things out of
uh-huh.
place. I like that idea because I get up a few, you know, in the course of a day where I'm working all day at my desk, I get up a few times, of course.
Right. So after you get up, you put one thing away before you sit back down.
Yeah, I like that. I'll try that.
Well, first we're going to rehearse it a couple times.
Okay, good.
Because, and I want you to keep in mind that while this is a small thing,
mm-hmm.
it's going to lead you to, it's going to point you in the direction of having that clean house that you really enjoy.
Right. And in fact, having an orderly house is also really important to me. So, yeah, but you're right. It's a good, it's a step toward, it's because it's going to make the thing, make it easier to clean house, which I don't like doing. So mine will make it easier.
Right.
And the good news is I'm having a house guest soon, and I'm actually going to have a house cleaned. Because I don't
want
to do a good job. So I have a nice clean slate to start from.
Yeah. So let's just practice this a few times.
Okay.
So you're sitting at your desk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and before we do this, like, now this is the sort of, it could be a little awkward, but what do you say to yourself, like, when you're really proud of having done something?
I say, what do I say? I don't know. You rock.
You rock.
Self, you rock.
So you're sitting at your desk, and you get up to go do something, and you put something away.
Mm-hmm.
You rock.
You rock.
You rock.
I just did.
And then you go back to your desk.
Okay.
So you're sitting at your desk.
Uh-huh.
You get up to take a break. You put one thing away. You rock.
Excellent. You rock.
And you sit back down. So now just imagine that in your mind again.
Okay.
You're sitting at your desk. And you need to get up for a minute. What happens next?
When I put something away,
mm-hmm.
and then I say, you rock. And I sit back down.
Uh-huh. And then you can imagine doing the same thing if you are coming into the house.
Mm-hmm.
You walk through the door, and as you're headed to whether you're going upstairs or downstairs, you put one thing away. Rock.
Yeah. That's good. So in that, excuse me, in this habit that you're helping me form, I really am only having to put away one thing after each of these cues. And so it would be like every time I walk in the door, if I go out of the house five times, I'd put five things away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right.
Yeah.
That sounds extremely doable.
Which is perfect, because the more you do it, the easier it will be.
Right.
So, and can you imagine, like, how nice it's going to be if you're going in and out of the house or you're getting up and down from your desk, how easy it's going to be to keep your house orderly.
Right. Yeah.
And so now I want you to consider that you get up from your desk, you go do whatever you're going to do, and you come back and you sit down, and you remember that you forgot to put something away. And what I want you to do is celebrate that you remembered. You rock just for remembering.
Instead of, you suck, because you didn't put
it away. Exactly.
Right.
So any time you remember, even if you remember that you forgot, at the moment to celebrate, you rock.
And in that scenario, if I were able, I'd go ahead and get up and put something away.
You could if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But really it's about remembering and celebrating that you remembered.
Right.
So just imagine that for a moment. You get up from your desk, do what you're going to do. You sit down, and you remember that you forgot. And what happened?
I remember, and then I say, you rock, you remembered.
Good
I proceed. Yeah. That's good, and I can feel that that's an important step.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about not beating yourself up, actually. It's about acknowledging that you remembered, because remembering can
right.
be hard when you're forming it.
Right, and really, that is the hardest part about creating a new habit. Like, when you want to create a habit consciously, mm-hmm. is remembering it. Mm-hmm. Because so much of what we do, even, you know, just thought patterns are habitual.
Mm-hmm.
That remembering something is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, have any questions about that?
No, I'm all jazzed up to start it.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, and I hope that that you know, in a week or so after you've played around with it for a little bit, maybe you'll go on the Facebook page or something and let us know how it's going.
Sure. Maybe you can help me remember to do that.
I will.
Okay. Or maybe I'll remember anyway.
And then we can celebrate it.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks, Janine.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, does everyone see what we're doing there? Does that make sense? That focusing in on why it's important, and like with Janine, we had to dig around a little bit to find out why it was important to her. But ultimately, we discovered that she does enjoy having an orderly and clean house. When you sort of remove the work and you know the feelings that are sort of built up around the work of it, but that it is important to her and she does enjoy it, to having it that way. So keep that in mind when you are wanting to create a new habit. Do you really understand why it's important to you and what you want out of this? It's not going to work the same way if you are thinking about what you don't want or if you want to get rid of a negative behavior, an unwanted habit. And then really, really make it small. You know, putting one thing away. And you can see how if you did that even just once a day, then those habits, that those behaviors, those actions build on each other. And a lot of times it's easy to think that one small thing like that isn't going to make a difference, and so you don't do anything. And yet, even if you only put one thing away each day for a week, that's still seven things that you wouldn't have put away otherwise. And you can see how that, it starts to accumulate, and those successes help you want to do more. And, you know, because really, we all love being rewarded. I like being rewarded. I think you all pretty much are the same. And as much as we like to think that we do things for other reasons, a reward and a simple celebration like you rock or good job or whatever really feels good. And again, when you feel good, it makes it so much easier to do what you really want to be doing. So we don't have time to do any more coaching, but I would love to answer any questions or if you have a specific situation, I can't take you through the whole process, but I could help you with a little part of it if you'd like.
Hello, Shannon?
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ann Gregson. My question has to do with, I guess maybe it's too big a question.
Well, go ahead and ask it, and we'll do what we can do.
All right. I work for myself. I'm retired from 25 years of teaching art, and I'm a certified life coach, and I am an artist. So I work out of my home, and my issue is rebelling about getting up at an earlier hour than, well, I get up and then I'm like, it's such a treat to go back to bed after getting up at 5:30 in the morning for so many years, and I go back to bed, I snuggle in, and then I have been working, going back and forth between, this is okay, you've earned this, this is nice, but there's a part of me that says if you stayed up, you would get more done. And so the habit, I know it's fear. I'm doing a business plan. It's fear of moving forward. And so I guess the habit that I'm trying to establish is once I get up to stay up. And one little thing, I guess I just answered my own question in a way. Is the whole idea of visualizing it, visualizing myself staying up. I know why I want to stay up. I know I'll have a more productive day. But it's that whole, you know, that whole fear piece gets in there.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that just from what you've said, the brief amount you shared so far, is that it sounds like the reward of going back to bed is way more compelling than the reward of staying up.
Oh, I have a really comfortable bed. Oh, yeah. I need to make my bed less comfortable.
Yes, you need to, like, get a lumpy bed and,
yep,
you know, throw some crumbs in there or something so you want to get out. But again, if you start to explore and how you can make what you want more compelling, like, and even though there's fear involved with your business and all of that, start to consider why you're doing it anyway. What is compelling to you about doing it and getting in touch with that?
Yeah.
And considering, you know, a small way, because, you know, getting out of bed and staying out of bed is actually a big deal if you have been really gotten used to rewarding yourself after retiring from, you know, so many years of having to have a set schedule. So I would play around with that a little bit. Is, you know, what's a small thing you could do? How can you have both? How can you enjoy a little bit of leisure time in the morning in bed and be excited to get up and be productive in your day?
Well, yeah, and I did go from, like, 2 hours of laying around to, I cut it back, so that was like a small change, I guess. And so now it's, my goal was to get up and stay, once I get up, to stay up. And, yeah, I do know the rewards, and, oh, I don't know.
Well, stay really, really small. So, you know, getting up and staying up still seems too big. Unless it seems completely, absolutely doable, it's too big of a first step. So,
and I'm excited about what I'm going to do for the day, which really amazes me that I, you know, I mean, I know I'm really in touch with, boy, am I on the right track. I'm so excited about these workshops I'm designing, blah, blah, blah. And yet I go back to bed.
Yeah, so there's a rhythm to discovering what works. And it just sounds like you're taking a little bit too big of a step right now.
Okay.
So I would see if you could make it a little bit smaller so that it's really, really doable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yes.
Great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. We are now out of time, and I want to thank all of you for being here today, and I want to take just a moment to have you relax into what we talked about and just really let it all soak in. Get into your unconscious mind. I know we've been talking about how to create these habits consciously, and I'm completely confident that you all have these ideas that will allow you to do that. And when you relax even more fully into the idea that you can bring your unconscious mind on board to do that, it will be even easier. And one of the great ways to do that is to consider fully why you're doing what you want to be doing, or rather, why you want to be doing. And so just allow your mind to really get in touch with that and to picture everything when you consider what it is that you want to be doing. And then let yourself back up to take that one small, tiny step in that direction, knowing that your unconscious mind has taken in everything that you've heard here today, and that you can create these habits and patterns and routines that let you make the behaviors you want to have happen automatic and unconscious as well. So with that, thank you so much for being here today, and I look forward to talking with you again soon. Thank you.